Hello and welcome to our conversation about homelessness and poverty. I'm Dana Boyer and I work with Catholic Charities. And today we have Kelly Anderson, the program director at Sarah's House. Thanks for joining us today, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, could you just give a brief background on yourself?
Sure. So I have been here with Sarah's House for 13 years in Catholic Charities. I actually started as a volunteer in the program. I was looking for something to fill a little bit of idle time that I had on my hands. And Sarah's House happened to be the closest thing next to me when I put, you know, volunteer activities into Google search. So I came on over here, started out with the Child Care Center. My initial degree is in teaching. I'm an elementary education professional, I guess. And so the kids were the perfect fit. Right around the same time, it was Christmas time and there was a ton going on here. So I moved over to volunteer in that arena and I had a little bit more exposure to the program and things that were going on here. And it was at that point in time that I figured out that, you know, my initial passion may have been teaching, but my kind of newest passion that I discovered was actually helping people. So I applied for a couple of different things, but have worked as a program assistant here, case manager, manager of client services, a bunch of different positions, and was recently promoted to the director of Sarah's House. So, and throughout my time here, I've also gotten my MBA. So lots of good things.
Yeah, excellent. So I just wanted to let everyone know that I have no expertise in this topic. I just wanted to be a part of the conversation. So I'm really excited to learn from you today.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so the experience of homelessness can be very obvious in some parts of our area, like downtown Baltimore, and we know what that looks like. We also know what it feels like when we walk or drive by someone who's experiencing homelessness. So what do you do? Do you give them money? Do you look away to spare their pride? Do you look them in the eye to recognize them? What if they're dangerous? We make a lot of assumptions about someone who seems not to have a home, but what are really the best ways to help someone in this situation? And that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, let's start with the assumptions. What are some of the things that we assume that are incorrect?
So I think that it's almost, taught to us to assume that somebody who is experiencing homelessness also has severe mental health issues or has severe substance use issues or may have a pretty involved criminal background. I think that those are, you know, the quote sensational stories that we see on TV, right? That's what ends up on the news. And I think that the majority of those things, a lot of times, are just that. They're assumptions that are completely and totally incorrect.
And what about the things that we are assuming that are correct?
So I think that if I were to think about things that we're assuming that are correct, that we could say kind of across the board, I would say that when we interact with anybody that has experienced homelessness, we should assume that they have, you know, experienced trauma in their background, that something has happened at some point in time, whether recently or in the past, and that we should acknowledge that and proceed accordingly. A lot of the things, you know, the idea of trauma-informed care is huge, and it's not only in, you know, how we interact with clients and things. It's in our environment. It's in the services that we provide. So I think it's important to assume that everybody has experienced trauma and proceed accordingly, most importantly, because it gives us the opportunity to form a relationship with somebody. And if you're working in this business in any way, shape, or form, you know that the relationship that you form is the most important thing.
Yeah, so if we're being completely honest, a lot of us are afraid of someone experiencing homelessness. They could be mentally ill or addicted and desperate, or at least that's what we think. What do you think is the most important thing to do, no matter who we encounter or what their circumstance or nature might be?
I think the most important thing that we should do is, you know, continue to follow the Catholic Charities commitments and really treat people the way that we want to be treated, you know, encounter people, you know, with dignity and compassion and actually treat them as if they're a human being. I think if we do that, it gives us the opportunity to push some of our assumptions aside and really just kind of get to know the person themselves.
So do you see a lot of services aiding people experiencing homelessness, and how does Sarah's House contribute to that?
services all day, every day in a variety of areas. So what Sarah's House does is we have a couple of programs. Our main program is our emergency shelter program. We also operate a project-based supportive housing voucher program, which really just gives people a little bit more of an opportunity to remove some of the barriers to them obtaining self-sufficiency. And then we also operate a rapid rehousing program and an aftercare program. I think that it's you can't just say, you know, that services, you know, provision to the homeless are just certain shelters or things like that. There are so many community groups that are helping serve those in need. So it could be from your local food pantry to a church group to a civic organization, you know, a group of Boy Scouts that have gotten together and decided to support an encampment or things like that. So the positivity and the things that people are doing are all around us. And I think a lot of times if it's not, you know, something that's bigger or more obvious, it goes unnoticed. But the good in people, you know, that we've seen, especially through COVID and all of the struggles in our world right now, the good in people just is absolutely amazing to me and very empowering. It's almost like it's a movement that you want to join.
Yeah. Have you seen any differences through COVID? I've noticed that a lot of people are just willing to help.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for us, COVID has been almost like the holiday timeframe, right? In the holiday timeframe, we get a ton of donations. We get a ton of groups that want to do canned good donations and give for the children and give for the adults. I think what COVID has done is it has given us the opportunity to see how blessed we really are as individuals and kind of push us to share that with others. Right. And what better way to do it in, you know, an organization such as Sarah's House operated by Catholic Charities that really kind of has the opportunity to make a difference in people's lives? It's the perfect concoction. It's something good coming from something that has certainly not been good for our world overall.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of individuals and families experiencing homelessness in Maryland, you know, are not sleeping in bus stops or in front of buildings. So what do we need to know about the quote unquote invisible homeless?
So I think the most important thing to know about the invisible homeless is that they are there and they have needs to be met, right? So here in Anne Arundel County, which is where we're located, we have a ton of folks that do what we call couch hop or that, you know, stay from one place to another. And it's hard because how in the world do you get a job when you don't have a solid address? How do you enroll your children in school and ensure that they attend on a regular basis? How do you break any kind of cycle of, you know, generational homelessness, generational poverty, generational undereducation if you don't have that base underneath you? Right? So we have to find creative ways. We have to find creative ways to reach the population. We have to find creative ways not only to engage them, but to continue engaging them. And we need to make sure that we are hooking them up with community resources. Most folks we've seen kind of go back to the area that they came. You know, maybe they get a new place or a new apartment or a new house, but they go back to an area. Who wouldn't? It's where their families are. It's where they went to school. It's where they know folks. So we need to ensure that we are connecting them with those community-based resources because those community-based resources are going to be able to remain engaged much longer than we are at a shelter program or even in our aftercare program. Those services end for us. So ensuring that they have, you know, those services continuous and in place means that we're probably not going to have them experience a return to homelessness. And that's what we're all looking for, right? To make sure that people's experience with homelessness is as brief and infrequent as possible.
Yeah. So let's talk about what we can and should or should not do. What about people who are asking for money at intersections? Should we give them money?
So I honestly, Dana, I think that's a personal decision. And I'll tell you, if I decide to give somebody money, I also give them information. Right. So I make sure in Anne Arundel County, we have a little pocketbook, a little pocket folder thing that has all of the contacts for Anne Arundel County if you're experiencing homelessness. So if I want to give somebody $5, I also give them that little book and I say, hey, here are resources. Here is this. Do you need any help? Is there any way that I can help you to make a phone call? You know, and I'm going to be very honest. Sometimes I don't give any money because I don't have it to give myself. You know, I'm raising my own kids, but I feel like the best thing that we can do is we can share our knowledge. You know, we are our biggest source of information. So I think if we share our knowledge, if we make sure that people are educated about the resources that are out there, I think that that is a humongous start on the path, you know, and then you work with folks when you can actually get them into the program. But empowering them with that knowledge is, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's really important that you share the information with them so they know that there are resources out there for them. But do you find that information is readily available for people to give out if they want to?
It is. If you are computer savvy, or, you know, if you've got a kid who's anything over, what, 5 at this point in time, right? They can manipulate through that internet and get us everything we want. So I think that, you know, if you visit like your local Department of Social Services, coalition websites, things like that, you can almost always find a pocket pal or something. Or, you know, I would encourage people to be creative, create your own. You know, create a resource that you can share amongst other people in your county. Get it out there. These are our neighbors we're talking about. You know, we're not going to a different country or going to a different thing. These are folks that our children go to school with their children. You know, we may work alongside them. And if we cannot help them, then, you know, we're certainly not helping our communities in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. So what about someone who doesn't look like they're experiencing homelessness, but approaches us and asks us for help and says they're homeless?
Always a sticky situation, right? Because you don't want to make those assumptions. You don't want to say, hey, looks like you didn't have anywhere to sleep last night, or hey, looks like you didn't take a shower. So I think the best thing that you can do, and, you know, I've encountered this when I work with the street homeless counts that we do here in Anne Arundel County, where we do our point in time surveys. I think the best thing that you can do is approach somebody the same as if you were approaching somebody else. Hey, are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help you? And they may very well say no. They may very well get upset with you. They may very well get their feelings hurt, whatever the case may be. But if it is somebody that truly needs help and you've kind of offered that hand to them and given them some bit of information that may change the trajectory of their lives, then it's totally worth it, right? That uncomfortable moment is totally worth it. And I find myself explaining. I may walk up to somebody when I'm walking on the trail and say, hey, you okay? You know, and they'll say, well, why do you think that? And I'll say, well, you know, habit, just the work that I'm in. I'm always kind of looking out for people, and it's okay. It's okay to be human. It's okay to make mistakes as long as we're doing it for the good of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So what if we know somebody who's homeless? You know, what's the best way we can help them?
So I think the best way that we help them is to have those difficult conversations. To, you know, start by saying, do you need help? Is there anything I can do to support you? Can I connect you with a community resource? Can I anything? And then make sure that you follow up, right? I mean, a lot of times people may not be ready for help at that moment. That doesn't mean that 3 days from now, they're not ready for it. You know, so be consistent. Be that friend. Be that person that's not going to give up or not just going to walk away. Truly kind of see everything through in the circle, close that circle, and ensure that you've helped somebody, you know, get to the point where they're going to be able to be successful.
Yeah, I think the greatest thing is just approaching it with compassion and sharing the information that you have. So what does success look like in regards to outcomes for places like Sarah's House? And are there any stories that stick out that you'd like to share with us today?
Listen, so one of the things that we always struggle with, right, is, you know, when you work in a place like Sarah's House and you're constantly hearing traumatic stories and, you know, that tends to wear on you, right? And if somebody else doesn't necessarily meet the goal that you originally set with them, it tends to feel like a failure on our side. We tend to kind of take that burden on and our shoulders are heavy. What we try to talk about here is that we don't have the right to determine success. Of course, we want everybody to get into housing. That would be the perfect world. We don't live there, right? For some folks here that come to Sarah's House, it is a complete and total success that they have maybe maintained their sobriety for 90 days. It's given them a start on that. For some folks, they've gotten their children back enrolled in school. Some people certainly exit to permanent housing. Some people certainly, you know, never return to homelessness. But everybody has the right to self-determination. And if we push people into something that they're not yet ready for, it's not going to be something that they adapt as like a long-term thing. Think about how long it takes us to change what we're doing, how long it takes us to change a habit, how many times a week I go to Chick-fil-A, right? It's not, I've told myself a million times, don't go, and the 4-count chicken mini still call me. So it's just really making sure that as long as we empower people with knowledge, as long as we empower people with phone numbers and support, and we build those strong relationships, we have to consider that a success, because they may not have had any of that. And maybe next time, should they come across our paths again, maybe they're ready to go a few more steps. You know, it's really important that we don't put a stamp or a sticker on what is success or not success. And I'm going to give you a great example. So we had a young lady who was living with us with her mother and her teenage brother in the shelter. She was young, you know, 16, knew everything in the world, because doesn't every 16-year-old, right? And she was also pregnant at the time. So we did all kind of stuff. We worked with her on making sure that she graduated. We gave her a baby shower. You know, we did the whole thing. And her mom decided she was going to leave. No clue why, but she was not an adult, so she certainly couldn't stay here by herself. So she ended up returning to our program as an adult with her brand new baby, and she wasn't much older. She was probably right over 18, maybe just had hit 19, so she still thought she knew everything. And she came in and she sat down, and she was like, I'm going to get a job at KFC, and I'm going to be, you know, out of here in 2 weeks. And I'm like, stop, that's not going to happen. I was a case manager at the time. I said, stop, that's not going to happen. You know, sit down. Let's talk this through. Let's really take a look at what you're capable of. What do you want to do? And how do we help you get there? What resources can we tap into? What places can we call? What pots of money can we find for you? And she sat down and she listened. She left our program in a year. She was a homeowner through Habitat for Humanity. She had her first master's degree. She now has two. She had a car. She was working two jobs, like all of these fantastic things. And she was young. She was, you know, a kid really. And it just goes to show that with the right support, with somebody that's not willing to give up on you, with those real honest relationships, because there were several times when I said to her, stop, just stop. You know, you sound silly right now. But that's what it's born of, right? It's real relationships, people that are going to stick by your side, even when you make a not so great decision, are going to come back to the drawing board and say, okay, how do we do it differently next time? And we did that for a year, and she just blossomed. You know, she blossomed. She still to this day calls her son a Sarah's House baby, because this is where he grew up. You know, he grew up here for the early year, and it's just a fantastic. It's a fantastic example of somebody who, even as a child, experienced homelessness, who had lots of trauma in her background, who all of those things, but who was actually able to take advantage of all of the things that we offered her, form some really strong relationships, and totally change what the rest of her life and probably her children's lives are going to look like.
That's an incredible story. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's, you know, there's so many stories, right? There's so many stories of folks that just do fantastic things in such a short time frame. And I always say to myself, I couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't come here and you know, be told that, hey, there's an 8:30 curfew, and hey, you can't do this, and hey, you can't do that. Yet people make the decision every day to change their lives. Yeah. And it's just amazing to me. You know, and it's amazing that the team we have in place are able to work with them collaboratively to really just put some solid goals in place and knock down anything that comes in the way to get to them.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, thank you for sharing your expertise today.
You're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. This was Kelly Anderson, the director of program director of Sarah's House. We have more conversations about homelessness and poverty this week. Be sure to check them out. Thanks for listening.